The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chess.
Up the right wing boards, McDavid gets by Tuck. Now into the Sabre zone to Draisaitl. Now to Ekholm, scores! What a goal! What a setup! Oilers are up 5-3.
Great Odin's beard, what a shot. Mattias Ekholm pulverizing in his second of the game. That made it 5-3 Oilers, and they run away and hide from the Buffalo Sabres. 8-3 is your final tonight at Rogers Place. It was 3-2 Buffalo with 3 minutes left in the second period. Hyman scored in the last minute of the second period. Then Nurse, Ekholm, Hyman, McLeod, and Brown do the damage in the third as the Oilers improve their record to 42-21-4. Connor McDavid with 4 assists. He is up to 86 on the season as he tries to become only the fourth player to have 100 assists in the season. Ekholm, 2 goals and an assist. Leon Draisaitl, a goal and 2 assists. Stuart Skinner, the win with 26 saves. Buffalo led this game 2-0 in the first period, and then the Oilers just slowly took over. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown in Studio 99 for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. As I was watching the third period progress, Rob, I flash back to the interview I did this morning with the head coach of the German national men's hockey team, Harold Kreis. Of course, we talked about Leon a lot, and then I said, hey, you guys had a great run at the World Championships. You got the silver medal. And he said, yeah, we lost to Canada in the final, and we could stay with them for 20, 25 minutes, and then eventually they were just too good. I kind of thought of that because Buffalo, you know, I thought was better in the first period. Second period, they hung around, but eventually Edmonton just took over.
Well, at the end of the second period, you and I talked about going into the third as a tie game, that the team who decided to play defensive in the third period would probably come out with the victory. And the first 40 minutes was very loose defensively by both teams. Too many grade A scoring chances against, and hence the 3-3 score after 40 minutes. But in the third period, the Oilers tightened up, played good defensive hockey. I think it was 5 shots against they gave up.
Yep.
No odd man breaks, no big mistakes. But the Buffalo Sabres continued to play loose, and the Oilers were getting odd man breaks. They were the Sabres were turning the puck over, not sealing off defensively. A great example, Leon Draisaitl's rims the puck around hard. Cousins is the first player there. He doesn't seal off the boards, and all of a sudden here comes Connor, steals the puck, goes back to Hyman, it's in the net. Fantastic player, Darlene. He's got the puck at the blue line. He's trying to dipsy-doodle a guy at the blue line. He gets stripped. It goes down. McLeod scores on that one. The Sabres just did not play good defensive hockey, and when you play against good offensive teams, they're going to pick you apart. And this was a game that the Sabres, they have a ton of good, skilled players, but ones that right now tend to think offense first, and it burned them. And the Edmonton Oilers, from top to bottom, had contributions throughout their lineup. They played a very good third period, both offensively and defensively, and that's the reason that they exploded for 5.
Well, and I took note of what Ryan McLeod said in his interview right after the game with Brendan Escott, saying when we bear down on defense and focus on turning pucks over, then we really get rolling offensively. And there's a reason why coaches and players in hockey and football and basketball and you name it talk about protect, be the team that forces turnovers, not commits turnovers, as it works.
Well, whenever there's a turnover, so for example, the Buffalo Sabres have the puck on their stick. All 5 guys on the ice are thinking of an offensive situation, an offensive play. If the one guy with the puck turns it over, there's a split second where all 5 Buffalo Sabres are out of position, and their mindset is in the wrong spot because they're all thinking defense. Excuse me, they're all thinking offense. When there's a turnover, very quickly the defensive team snaps. They jump into it, and they've got that split second where they have a huge advantage. And tonight, the turnovers Buffalo made were major gaffes. The one at the end of the second period, the guy tries flipping it out, and all of a sudden he puts it right to Connor McDavid. 3 seconds later, it's in the back of the net. Darlene tries to beat a guy at the blue line. The risk-reward. You beat him at the blue line, you're 3 feet inside the offensive blue line. You're a long way from the net. You don't beat the guy. It's a two-on-one going back the other way. The wonderful goal that you just played as we came back, the Ekholm goal, again, a turnover in the offensive zone, and it's an odd man break with Connor and Leon. I mean, Ekholm, he's just licking his lips as he's coming up the ice going, I'm going to get a chance here. I'm going to get a chance. So the Buffalo Sabres just way, way too loose against a team that they know that is better than them. The standings will tell you that. And they didn't play the defensive style that they needed to in the third period. Their goaltender, I saw him leave the ice. He was not happy.
No.
And he shouldn't be because he was hung out to dry a number of times.
He made a lot of great saves and gave up eight goals.
So this was a game that the Buffalo Sabres, I mean, they're going to have to learn from. If you want to play against the big teams in the National Hockey League, you've got to play very smart, safe hockey. They did not do that, and the Edmonton Oilers picked them apart.
Shots have been updated here to read 39-29 in favor of the Oilers in an 8-3 win over the Sabres. Second time this season the Oilers have scored 8 in a game. Last time, February 13th, when they beat Detroit 8-4. It also means an $800 donation to 630 Chet Santa's Anonymous coming from James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. They are filling the net with $100 every time the Oilers score. Ekholm scores twice. I mean, a little toe drag, quick snapper in the second period, and then we've seen him score on that slapper before where he just puts everything he has into it.
Well, all players have a favorite place to shoot. They all do. You look at Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, it's low blocker. Bouchard, well, I mean, he just shoots heavy. But Ekholm, when he shoots, he wants to go high over the glove. That's his shot. He loves it. And when he's walking into that, that was really pretty play in the neutral zone by Connor McDavid, dipsy-doodling around Alex Tuck. He gives it to Leon, and Leon was just waiting for the right moment. He knew where Ekholm was. He was getting the defenseman who was back out of the way. So he pulled him over, and just a little behind the back pass. And it was almost like when you're going and playing with your grandfather golf, and you say, it's okay, Gramps, I'm going to put it on a tee for you. I'm going to carry your ball over, and I'm going to put it on a tee. You just go up and hit it. That's what Leon did for Ekholm there. He put that pass on a tee. The puck was sitting there. And Ekholm, who was coming from his own end of the ice all the way down, he had all the time in the world to hammer that, and that was his shot. It's going up over the glove. There was zero chance that goaltender could save that puck. So a beautiful, beautiful goal. And a wonderful game by Matthias Ekholm tonight. He was excellent in this hockey game.
Ekholm, the first star tonight. Connor McDavid, the second star. Leon Draisaitl, the third star. The fourth star, Rob and I give out courtesy of Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. I guess in a lopsided win, we can each pick a guy.
Yeah, there were a lot of players that were really good in this hockey game. I'm going to go with Darnell Nurse. He ended up getting the game winner in the night. He's had a lot of grade A scoring chances that have not found the back of the net. That might have been a grade C or a grade D. Give credit to Corey Perry standing in front of the net on that one. The goalie had no stick. I don't know how he lost it, but since Perry was around, I'm going to probably say that Perry had something to do with it. I'm going to go with Darnell Nurse. I thought he had a very good hockey game.
Nurse has the goal. He's plus one in 20 minutes and 48 seconds. 3 shots on goal, 8 hits, and 4 blocked shots for Darnell tonight. I'm going to give it to Connor Brown just because he scored off his stick this time. I know it was the 8th goal with 9 seconds left, but he needs him.
He needs him. He does, but we talked after the game. The relief that he had when he scored, it would change his game going forward. And that goal, he put himself in the right position. He went up high, circled around, followed where the play was going. And as you and I sit here in Studio 99, we see a fan from New Zealand, is it?
Yeah,
it
lives here now, but he moved here recently from New Zealand.
With his Connor Brown jersey on. Yep. So good on him.
Good on him. He moved here in, I think he said December or January.
Well,
so
I think that Connor Brown jersey, yeah.
Before he moved, Connor Brown hadn't scored. So since he's moved, and his last name is Brown as well. I met him coming in. So that's cool. Zach Hyman scores twice. He has 48 on the season. We'll talk about Hyman in a second. Here's head coach Chris Knobloch.
How many goals did he have as 19-year-old here?
Kind of a slow start. You maybe picked up in the first period where you left off against Montreal, but you finished really strongly. How did you see the worm turning for you guys in this one?
Yeah, I thought we built a game. You know, in the first period, we're down a little bit. I don't think we made many mistakes. I don't think it was that bad. You know, offensively, I thought we had some really good offense. Good looks around the net, some chances. I know Perry had two or three deflections around the net, and that line was our best line the first period, Henrique's. And we're down two, which was by far our worst period, but I don't think it was terrible. You know, it just got better. I thought we played a little more urgency. I thought we finished our checks, made it a little more difficult on Buffalo, and it just allowed us to play our game.
So the playoffs are getting closer and closer, and it's hard for people not to kind of look ahead to that. Is that mindset something that you kind of have to manufacture in this late in the season?
We're getting close. Both thinking about playoffs. You know, there's still probably when we hit April 1st, it'll probably be a different story. Right now, I think we are starting to dial it in, starting to get more focused on what's ahead of us. The chase and the standings, we haven't talked about. We don't post it. We just want to win our next game. But I think we know what's at stake, and we'll definitely be ready at the time we need to.
Is there something about the simple, direct manner in which both Ekholm and I, two additions to this organization, like their commitment, their low maintenance? Just a thought of what you get out of them on a nightly basis, how they can turn games into the way they play.
Well, so much of the game is about winning battles, making an easy pass, things that don't take any talent. And those two are so good at it, just winning their battles, being in the right position defensively. And so their on-ice performance is so beneficial to our team's success every single night. But it's also what they do for the other guys in the team and just helping them, and whether that's with emotional support or just leading by example, whatever, but those two are very valuable for us.
Done, Bobby? Good. Just wanted to ask about kind of your team's ability to self-correct tonight. Like Matthias Ekholm talked about how after the first period they weren't super thrilled and had a chat and then were much better after that. As a coach, it's got to feel like a good sign when your players can sort it out that.
Absolutely. After the first period, I know the players discussed among themselves about it not being good enough. Just not moving our feet fast enough, not finishing enough checks, not making the simple play, just little things. And everyone elevated their game. And when everybody's doing that, it just makes the game so much easier. And it was nice to see. We haven't seen with that urgency and that commitment for a while. And they benefited with scoring some offense tonight.
Over here, Zach Hyman is 48. He's been so consistent for you this year. He's going into Toronto with a chance to get 50 in his hometown against his former team. Just a thought on just his consistency in his play, and how much would that mean to the rest of the guys for him to get that milestone in his hometown?
Well, we talked about Zach being a crucial part of this team and a very popular player on the team, and everyone appreciates what a selfless guy he is. He's inspirational to all the other players. You know, he took the long road to get to the NHL, and now he's become a pretty good star. You know, and I can say that now with somebody who's about to approach 50 goals. And does so many other things. It's not that he's scoring goals, cheating the game, and not playing the right way, but he is, and, you know, did that milestone. You know, he should be so happy and so proud of what he's accomplished, but just to hit that milestone, that mark, would be really incredible, and for him to do it at home, we'll see if we can get him some shifts.
Hey, Chris, you've had Troy Stetcher playing in a bigger role here over these last two games, and he chips in tonight with his first point on an assist. Just wanted to get your thoughts on how he's looked in as an Oiler here.
For any new player, it takes a little while to get used to the systems and knowing where guys are and what his partner's calling and the just all that communication. And, you know, there's a little bit of difference with systems. Actually, some of the things are quite different than what he was used to. But he is a competitor, and he moves really well on the ice and transports the puck well. And, you know, I thought he's been continually just getting better and better. And, you know, moving forward, you know, DNA being able to possibly come in this weekend. But we'll still see him in the lineup when, or maybe it's Saturday night, maybe it's Sunday, I don't know. But he definitely is a nice addition to our team.
Connor picking up more assists tonight, 100 would be a huge milestone. Do you think that's possible this season for him?
I'd say I'd never count anything out with Connor. You know, just 4 point or 4 assists tonight, getting closer and closer each game. And yeah, it'd be quite a feat, especially, you know, it hasn't been done in so many years and only by a handful of guys. And, you know, for him to do that would be quite an accomplishment. He's done so many things, he's achieved so many things, and just another one, it'd be nice for him to do.
Chris, you mentioned Ekholm's all-around game. His offense get overlooked playing with Bouchard?
Bouchard's the one who usually capitalizes, makes the play, but I don't know. You look at his 5-on-5 points, I'm not sure what they are, but I would think they're, well, maybe ask Bob, but I would think it's very close between the two of them, 5-on-5, so if it does, it shouldn't. He's got a really good shot, very composed on the blue line, makes a great first pass, so, you know, if it does get overlooked, I'll blame you guys.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop. 8-3 Oilers beat the Sabres. Just to circle back to Hyman, he gets to 48. I mean, we were saying coming into this homestand, he might get to 50 on this homestand because he scores a lot regardless. So now a chance to get it in Toronto, his former team in his hometown on Saturday.
In all honesty, for a fan base here in Edmonton, it would have been nice to see him do it here on home ice. But as a player, I'm thinking in my mind, if I was going to ever do it, doing it in your hometown would be really, really cool. Doing it in the hometown that let you go would be even better. So he will be hanging around the blue paint a lot in Toronto. And it always seems that really good players, great players, in big moments, they have big moments. So it would not shock me at all that the 50th goal for Zach Hyman comes in Toronto on Saturday night in Hockey Night in Canada.
And he gets his first goal tonight off kind of a bizarre tip off a flutter shot from Ekholm, and it ticks off Hyman on the way in, and Buffalo was looking, is there something there to, well, they can only challenge for goalie interference. The high stick is a league-initiated challenge, but the goal stood. And then his second goal reminds us that as much as he's around the net or not, sometimes he can pot one with a nice shot from a little further away from the net.
That was a beautiful shot. It was a nice play all around. We don't normally see the Oilers' top line rim the puck in or dump it in, but Dreisaitl did. McDavid wins his battle on the boards with Cousins, and Hyman just hangs out in the right area. But that was a great shot, on and off a stick quickly. I believe it was short side upstairs. So a really nice goal. So Hyman actually, he had three or four other really good looks as well today. So it was a good game for Zach Hyman, and he has set himself up for possibly scoring number 50 on Saturday night in Toronto.
I want to also mention this. The face-off percentage tonight, the Oilers won 58% of the draws. The last time these two teams played, they won 80%. and I set the line for River Cree Resort and Casino Excitement Bet on it at 55% for the Oilers face-off success. So it is over. So Roland is going to get the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Yeah, 8-3, the Oilers take it to the Sabres tonight. They scored the last six goals of the game, including five in the third period. This guy scored once in the second and once in the third, also has an assist. Here's Mattias Ekholm.
Yeah, I actually really like the second period too. If you look at the first, I didn't love it. We got in, we had a nice chat about it and got out and showed what kind of team we are. And I thought, even though the second was still a pretty decently even period, I liked our intensity, I liked our checking better. And then obviously in the third, we took over. You know, when you get that lead to go, which was huge, they're going to start cheating a little bit and opens up the game. And that's kind of what happened. We scored a couple rushes, so I maybe got out of hand more than it should have or would have, but it did now, and it's kudos to us.
You talked about having a little chat. What said in there? What were you kind of wanting to address?
No, it's just we all know now it's about to get the crunch time, and we can't lean into games and just sit there and wait. And I just didn't like the first, and we all realized that. I think we have a pretty mature team in here, and everybody understands when we play good and bad, but sometimes it needs to be said. And yeah, whatever was said, I'll keep it house.
That move on your first goal, is that something you had in your back pocket for a while?
No, I don't know. I was surprised I got on a 2-on-1 and then came in. I was up with Keener and he got kind of taken away, so I figured I'll try to find a hole and got it through the D-man and the goalie was surprised, so yeah, we'll take it.
And the second goal, the setup by Leon?
Yeah, I was served on a golden platter there, right? I mean, you can't ask for more than that, so obviously the shot was good as well, but the setup was unbelievable.
Are you jumping up on the play more?
I don't know. I mean, last week I was sick that one game, and it made me actually get 5 days off, which is, with the schedule we've had, is kind of unheard of. So my legs feel really well, and I feel like I'm reading the plays well right now, and I take my time, or I take my chances jumping up. Hopefully it won't be cost of defense or goals against, but as long as we keep playing a sound game and keeping it forward, there's no reason why not.
Looking ahead, you guys got Toronto on Saturday. Zach's got 48 goals. To go back into Toronto, maybe get 50. Is that something you guys have thought about at all, or is that something maybe you'll think about on the flight there?
Nope, I have not thought about that. It's great to see him score. I love that for him. I think he's an unbelievable guy, and he's been doing so well all year. Whether he gets 50 on Saturday or whenever, I don't really care. I just hope that he gets there because he's deserved it all year.
TSC mentioned how it's getting close to crunch time. Did you feel a game like this was good to kind of work out some kinks and know that you have a little bit more to kind of work out for the next 15 games kind of coming?
I guess time will tell, but yeah, I would have liked the first period to be better, absolutely, but I did love the response that we had, and hopefully we, as I said earlier, we have a mature group in here, and usually we know when we play good or bad, and lessons hopefully learned from that first, and that we don't have to go back there, but I'm sure there's going to be games where you have a little bit of a dip, but hopefully not a lack of checking or effort.
Thanks, good to
see you. Mattias Ekholm, 3 points, plus two, played 21-49, five shots on goal, two hits, and a blocked shot. Oilers 8-3 over the Sabres, so the Japanese Village goal light is on 630ched.com because the Oilers scored five or more in a game. You can head to our website, print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village, now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall, an afternoon celebration for the senses. Visit jvedmonton.ca. So Hyman with 48, you're going to hear from him. You'll hear from McDavid, who got four assists. And you can check in on the CertainTeed hotline, 780-496-0063. CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling system. CertainTeed Pro all the way. We are live in Studio 99. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chan.
Puck brought it down the left side. Cousins will shoot. Safe by Skinner. The rebound rolls to him. He'll cover it up as Dylan Cousins had a burst of speed down the left wing and got a good shot away.
That is Stuart Skinner's save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310-GLASS or visit crystalglass.ca. Skinner stops 26 in an 8-3 Oilers victory over Buffalo. So Skinner with his 50th appearance of the season. He is 31-13-4. He also had 50 appearances last year, went 29-14-5. His save percentage was a bit better last year. His goals against is a bit better this year. Obviously, he's going to play more than 50 last year. The Paterka's second one was kind of a funny one because I think the off-speed pitch fooled Skinner, but he made a lot of important saves because it was, especially in the first period, a pretty loose game defensively by Edmonton.
And even in the second period, the shots, I believe, were 24-24 after two, so that's a lot of shots the Oilers gave up in the first 40 minutes. He made big saves when he needed to. It seems, and we talked about it after, I think it was the first or the second, but when Skinner lets a couple in early, he seems to get more focused, and he gets better, and that's a good thing. I've played on teams where goaltenders, if you let one in early, it affected them. And right. And I've played against teams, and you would say get one on this guy early because he'll fall apart. He will fight it the rest of the night. The entire league knows. If there's a goalie that he... If things go wrong early, he gets frustrated. I tell you that those games are the ones you come out the best because you're like, okay, let's ruin this guy's night early in the hockey game. But Skinner's the opposite. He gets better as the game goes on. He understands that, okay, I've given up two. Ooh, if they get another one on me here, that this might be a long night for my team, so I'm going to shut the door. So Stuart Skinner has been fantastic all season long, and we're seeing here lately where in big moments again, he's coming up with big saves. They took a lot of pressure off him in the third period, but through the first 40 minutes, he did have to make saves.
All right, we'll go to the CertainTeed hotline. We have Lion standing by. Lion, thanks a lot for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Professor Rob Brown.
I wish.
I know. That's my second time I call, and you're just an amazing person to listen to.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Boy, oh boy. I watched, well, sorry, I'm blind, but last game with the Canadiens, defensively, they were running around, like you said tonight at the beginning, and Montreal came back, and it was nice. They won in overtime. But tonight, they were doing a little bit the same thing, and second period, they came back to their offense, were backing up, helping the defense. They are a full team. And that's what I saw tonight. Like you guys said, not a lot of mistakes. They were playing as a full team. Skinner did his amazing save at the beginning, kept the team in. It's just unbelievable. It reminds me in the 80s how they're playing right now. It's like, hello, right? I just can't wait for the playoff, that's for sure. And another thing I have to say is how come I don't remember his name, but the goalie of Buffalo, how come he didn't get a penalty when he broke his stick?
They don't always give penalties.
He broke his stick on the
crossbar.
I've never actually seen that called. The referee will say he's frustrated, I'm going to let him do it. And I mean, the trainer might be a little mad because there's a $500 or $1,000 stick going down the drain, but I've never, ever seen that call.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's ever been.
Especially when he's frustrated at himself or at his team. It'd be another thing as if the ref called a penalty and he turned around, yelled at him, and broke his stick.
That was his reaction to
that would be
a referee
different.
Or something.
But when
he
was mad at a goal against or something, his teammate, the ref won't call that.
Lion, we appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. And he mentioned, you know, he likes the Oilers looking like a full team. And we should touch on what Knobloch said, because you brought it up as well. Henrique and Nugent Hopkins and Perry had a pretty good game.
I thought they were the best line. Obviously, when the game was tight going into the third, the Hyman, McDavid, Draisaitl line was put back together and were a difference again in this hockey game. But through the first 40 minutes, the most consistent line the Oilers had was Henrique, Nugent Hopkins, and Perry. Perry was excellent. He got a little bit more elevated ice in the first 40 minutes, not playing on the fourth line. He created. He is so slippery. down below the goal line, where for a big man, he seems to be missed. When guys come in to hit him, he kind of makes himself small. He pulls the puck in. He just makes nice plays, and then he hangs out in front of the net. So when he had two great opportunities where shots from both sides came in, he got deflections there on the goal that Nurse scored in the third period. Perry's in front of the net. Henrik made a couple really nice plays, made a sweet play from behind the net to Nugent Hopkins in front, looking on it. How do you say his name again? Luca, the goalie.
Oh, Lukanen.
Lukanen made a nice save on that one, but it was from Henrik from behind the net. Yeah, no, I thought that line was very good. And then when you play fourth line, you get limited minutes unless their game gets a little out of hand. I thought the fourth line tonight in their limited minutes through the first 40 were a positive. And then when they were given a little extra ice time in the third period because of the score, they go out and score a goal. So that's a confidence boost for a fourth line, too, for a Carrick, for a Brown, getting a goal. It was with 28 seconds to go. It was the eighth goal of the game, means nothing. But I tell you, it means something to the fourth line that they were rewarded for playing well in the limited minutes they had.
8-3, the Oilers take it. We have Chris on the Certainty Hotline. Chris, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Reid. Hey, Rob. How are you guys doing tonight?
Quite well.
I gotta say, what a finish, or what a third period that was. Did not see that coming after how the game kind of progressed. But I tell you what, I know at the end of the second, and even at the end of the first, like, you know, if Buffalo doesn't take the turnover in the second, and then the penalty in the first, like, you know, we might be looking at a different outcome of this game afterwards. But kudos to the Oilers for keeping in it and finding ways to produce, and everyone kind of getting involved in the game. Love to see it. I'll give you a couple predictions right now. I'm going to call it right now. Hyman does get 50 in Toronto on Saturday night. We'll see how many more assists McDavid adds. But I am going to ask you guys the question, and towards the end of the season, because you know, not enough are talked about it, and I'm seeing it online a bit right now. There's 15 games left in the season right now. With the points McDavid got tonight, he's 38 points away from hitting 1,000. Do you think he can still get it? I know it's a tough task, but I'm not going to bet against him doing it.
Well, it's funny. We brought this up, 40 games ago? 50 games ago?
Well, we talked about it last year, even, that he could get to 1,000 late year.
And then we, at the beginning of the year, we did say the pace he was on, that, I would not put it past him. And so, I have no idea. It's 38 with 15 games left. It would not surprise me at all. He's more than capable. And there's a couple reasons why it might be more probable than improbable right now. Is A, he's chasing a 100 assist year, which is
obvious that he's going to get it,
but still he's chasing that.
Yeah.
And he's chasing a scoring title. Normally he's not chasing a scoring title. Normally he's got a healthy lead. He's chasing a scoring title, so it would not surprise me at all that he has a fantastic finish, which he's normally has. He finishes stronger than he starts. So, I don't know. Where is the last game of the year here, or is it in Colorado?
That's the one that's at Colorado.
That's at Colorado.
Yeah, a lot of things
have to go right. But
yeah, and it's we get into these late game situations. So two nights ago, we're talking about, Montreal's out of it, but, man, they work hard. Well, today we're talking about, Buffalo's not going to be in the playoffs. And we've seen this, because the Oilers have been on both sides of it. Yep. Out of it in March, and sometimes they'd have some plucky game, and they'd win or lose in overtime, and then, 6-2. And the Oilers will, they'll have a couple more games like this.
Yep,
I'm not
100%.
Saying they're going to score eight, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Japanese Village goal light is on three or four more times.
Oh, with 100%.
But there could be some games that are 2-1 as well. So, but he's prolific enough. Of course, 2.5 points a game for a month is possible.
Oh, it certainly is, and it's just another thing to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about.
Yes, it is. That's a good call. I'd forgotten all about that, but we had talked about it earlier in the year.
All right, so the Oilers, by the way, are up to 42-21-4 on the season. The Canucks did win, and I think they got the Canucks win here already. Oilers
4-1, yes.
Six back.
No, I think they should be eight back.
They haven't put the Canucks game on here yet. Yeah, so it'd be eight back.
With three games in hand, yes.
And still five up on L.A.?
They will be up to five up on L.A. because they were three up coming into the game.
Right. And what are the Predators at, 15-game point streak?
Isn't it 14-0-2 now in their last 16 games? Actually, I texted one of my buddies, so I'll have it on here. Nashville is 14-0-2 in their last 16 games. What's amazing...
Oh, yeah. So that's... They've gone as long without a regulation loss as the Oilers.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's amazing, I look back at their schedule. They got pumped by the Dallas Stars 9-2. Since that game, they're 14-0-2, and they've given up 29 goals in those 16 games. They gave up 9 in one night, and then since then, they're averaging under 2 goals a game in a 16-game run. And they're not just playing the bottom feeders. Tonight, they went into Florida and shut out arguably the best team in hockey, the Florida Panthers. The Nashville Predators are good, and they're a team that's given some players away, but they got an all-star first line. They're one of the best defensemen in the league, and they have UC Saros in net, who's as good as any in the National Hockey League.
As we update the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals, visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Jake Neighbors, 2 goals. Blues over the Senators, 5-2. Devils beat the Jets, 4-1. Anaheim leads Chicago, 4-0 in the third. Vancouver beat Montreal, 4-1. Early in the third period, Vegas leading Seattle, 1-0. Lightning leading the Sharks, 3-1. The Hurricanes beat the Flyers 3-2 in overtime. Red Wings knock off the Islanders 6-3. And the Rangers bounce Boston 5-2 right here on 630 CHED. Edmonton 8, Buffalo 3 is the final. We have JD on the CertainTeed hotline. JD, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Good.
I just wanted to talk a few things tonight. What are you guys' thoughts on Stretcher? I know it's only 2 games in, but I was at the game tonight. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Russell, where he would make a bonehead play, but they would make up for it. Well, what are you guys' thoughts on Stretcher so far?
So I think Stretcher's the seventh defenseman. I think he gives you what he has, but I don't think he's going to play a lot in the playoffs.
Yeah, he will play if someone gets hurt, but... he's a gamer. He does not stop moving out there. His feet are going 100 miles an hour. He's not afraid physically. He's gotten better in the games that he's played, but I don't think he's going to play ahead of any of the Oilers defensemen, the regulars. But I think they have liked what they've seen from him, so they'll feel confident if they need to put him into the lineup.
Is there any outlook on Desharnais? Is he coming back next game?
He'll play Saturday. I'm pretty sure he'll play Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way a player who's capable of playing is going to miss a Saturday night hockey game in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could have played tonight, but they just are being careful. I don't know if Knobloch said Saturday, but he did say the weekend.
Yeah.
They played twice, but I would think he'll play Saturday. All right, let's go back down to the Oilers dressing room. This guy had 4 assists tonight. Here's Connor McDavid.
Man, that Colton jumping into the rush, making a couple of good plays, scoring some nice goals.
I think he was great. I thought he was great the other night too. He's been great for us ever since he's been here, and especially this run of play, I think he's played. His game's even gone up a little bit.
Connor, your team is 9-1-2 in its last 12 games. I know you guys aren't satisfied, but how encouraging is it to see this team producing those kinds of results this late in the season?
Yeah, we're finding ways to get wins. I'd still like to see a little bit more control of games. I still think we're finding our game. Obviously, it's nice that we're winning and producing wins, but I still think that there's more there. There's more to be had. There's more urgency. Which is a good thing. I think it's that time of year where we need to ramp up, get ready to go. We're still playing for, positioning and all that, so still lots to be playing for.
Matthias said that after the first period, you guys weren't super thrilled with things and had a little chat in here. What did you pull out of your game in the second that you maybe discussed?
I'm not sure it was pulling anything out. I thought it was just adding in a little bit of urgency, adding in a little bit of that. Just work, for the group. It's always just skating and the details. When that slips, any team game is not going to be great. So we had to up our work, up our attention to detail, and I thought we did a good job of bouncing back in that second period.
People ask for 60 minutes of hockey 82 times a year, which is not realistic. You're not in the stretch run where there's 5 games left. There's still a handful of games. Is it unrealistic to look at your team and say, hey, 60 minutes every night, let's go?
No, it's not unrealistic. We expect that out of ourselves. That being said, we know there's no perfect game. There's no You know, there's never going to be 60 minutes of perfect hockey, mistake-free hockey. But with that being said, we expect the best of ourselves. We expect that at this time of year, we're ramping up and getting ourselves ready to go.
Two more for Zach tonight. Just the buff on him. Getting close to that 50 goal mark.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I thought he was solid again. You know, did his thing at the net and finds a way to score a big goal there before the end of the period. That's a massive goal. It really is. So he's always in around the net making things happen. And, you know, I thought he was good again.
Is 2 for 50 going into Toronto? Is there any thought about that, or does it really matter?
You know what? I'm sure he'll be asked about that between now and Saturday, but you know, I would think that there's maybe something there. Of course, he's got close ties in Toronto, grew up there, born and raised, lots of friends and family that are going to be in the building. It would be I think special for him, but he might tell you otherwise, I don't know. But yeah, it'd be great to see him get there in Toronto.
Yes. A lot of the talk about Matias Ekholm is about his defensive game. What about his offensive game?
Well, he skates so well. And any D-man that skates so well, they can do a good job of jumping up in the rush. I think you've seen that the last couple games. He's getting in behind his check, you know, in behind forwards and creating things. And, you know, any D-man that can skate like he can be real dangerous jumping into the rush.
Connor, it's a couple games in a row where maybe at times you guys didn't bring your best. You seem to be kind of, you're pulling points out. Mm. 4 points and two good lessons in a couple of games.
Yeah. Nice to learn lessons and wins. You know, with that being said, two games that, you know, could have gone the other way. They could have gone the other way, quite frankly, and we would be having a different conversation here today. So, you know, lots of lessons from those two here, you know, we need to bring it on the road against a real good Toronto team that's playing well, and you know, on the rest of the road trip.
That is Connor McDavid, 4 assists in an 8-3 Oilers win over the Sabres. The Oilers are 9-1-2 in their last 12. You're going to hear from Zach Hyman. He's 2 goals away from 50. We'll get to a couple more calls as well on the CertainTeed hotline. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Left wing to Nugent Hopkins. Back to Bouchard. Over to Nugent Hopkins. Left corner. Out to Draisaitl. The shot. Scores! It just snuck its way through. And Leon Draisaitl has the Oilers on the board. They trail the Sabres 2-1.
All right, that's the only power play goal tonight, courtesy Conlon Motorsports. He'll help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' 4 locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. The Oilers trailed 2-0. They trailed 3-2. They win 8-3. Gentleman just came up to me in Studio 99 and said, when it was 3-2 Buffalo, did you think the Oilers had any chance of winning the game? I said, yes, I did.
I wasn't sure. I thought Buffalo had a chance at that point. They're just giving up way too many grade A's. It was going to come back to haunt them, and it did. They just,
well, that goal in the last minute of the second period. I mean, you said it. That didn't get the puck.
No, and they were doing that all night long. Now, even going into the third, if the Oilers are only down 1 against a Buffalo team that was leaking chances, I like the Oilers' odds of winning this hockey game. The Oilers are a good hockey club. They are a very good hockey club. They are deep, top to bottom. They're getting good goaltending. They're setting themselves up for hopefully a long playoff run. But for me, they got 15 games left, 14 games left. Get through this stretch healthy and set yourselves up for a good playoff.
Well, and this is a good stat here. They're 13-3-1 when tied after 2. So you talk, I mean, it's nice to go out and play great for 60 minutes.
It doesn't happen in the NHL.
There is, that's pro sports, figure it out, right? Yeah. And so they've been a good figure it out team.
Well, I told you, we watched the Vegas game the other night. The Vegas Golden Knights outplayed Tampa, found a way to lose. The Oilers got outplayed by the Montreal Canadiens, found a way to win. That's what good teams do.
All right, get to a couple quick calls here. We got Tony standing by. Tony, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Good.
Just want to give a quick shout out to Rob. I love him on the podcast that he does after this. I want to ask you guys a question because I know you guys don't pay attention a lot to social media, but even Stauffer brought it up. What do you guys think of Kane's performance, and do you guys, like, believe in all this hate that he's getting?
I got to be honest with you. I am not on any social media. None. I don't read social media. I'm not on social media, so I don't know what you're talking about when it comes to hate. Evander Kane, I thought, was effective tonight. He was a physical force. When Evander Kane's in on the forecheck, it's funny. When you see him going in full speed, watch how many defensemen stop short of the puck or throw the puck away very, very quickly without looking to see where it's going, simply to get out of the way. So I don't know what you're talking about with hate, but I think Evander Kane is like just about every other Edmonton Oiler right now, playing well.
We got Mark on the Certainty Hotline as well. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
I just called from Calgary. Just a quick question. I look at the Oilers now. They have players, eight at least, that can fight, that are good players that will play in the playoffs. That's pretty impressive. Carrick, Henrique, Nurse, Hyman, Desharnais, Perry, Jansen, Kane, and probably a few more.
Who was the second last one?
I put Jansen will have one or two fights, but, you know.
Oh, Janmark. Janmark.
Oh, Janmark. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, is there a player I don't know?
Yeah, Janmark. Oh, he's surprised that he got a great fight this year. Middleweight.
Yeah. They got some toughness. They got some size. They got some playoff experience. And we talked about this a little bit before. Henrique has been good. And I like Carrick's game. I mean, he had a couple chances tonight. He hits. He takes a lot of faceoffs.
Well, he's brought in to play a role, and he's played that role very well. He's been physical. He's been very good in the draw. He's fought a couple times, and he talked about it. It was early in the game, and he wanted to get the fans going. Like, that's a tough job. When I fought, I had to be really, really, really angry to fight because it hurts to fight. To simply go out and say, you know what, I'm going to get into a fight this shift because I want to get the fans going, and then drop your gloves. The other guy's punching you too. So, I mean, I give him credit for doing it.
It's not just the home player.
No, okay, I'm going to go punch this guy nine times. That guy's going to fight back too, and you're just simply doing it not out of anger. You're doing it because, you know what, I got to get this crowd excited about the game. So, Carrick was brought in to play a specific role. And I think he's been very, very good at that.
All right, the Oilers win it 8-3. Two goals for Zach Hyman. He's up to 48 on the season. You'll hear from him next on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Stetcher up the right wing to Hyman. Now to Draisaitl over the center ice line. He'll dump it in. Recovered by McDavid. His pass to the middle. Scores! Zach Hyman! What a shot! He's got 48!
He'll go for 50 Saturday in Toronto. The Oilers beat the Sabres 8-3 tonight. Here's Hyman.
Just a thought about turning it on in the third period there. How'd you feel about the game and just being able to elevate it in the third?
Yeah, not every game's going to be perfect. Sloppy start from us in the first period for sure. But like you said, it's nice to be able to respond and elevate your game and take a hold of it towards the end of the second and the third.
Yourself at 48, next game's in Toronto. I'm going to ask you about, does that mean anything if be able to get 50 in Toronto?
obviously, it would be special, but I'm not focused on it. Like, I'm sure I'll be asked about it a lot tomorrow and on Saturday. Have a look at it now, which is kind of cool to go into the game and you have an opportunity to do that. But really, I just want to win there. I don't think I've won there since I've been here. So it would be great to go in there and to win.
Matthias was saying that after the first, you guys weren't thrilled with the way things were going, had a little chat, and obviously it got a lot better after that. Just how important is it for you guys to be able to self-correct as a group like that?
Extremely important, I think. As you go on, I think we've experienced it now. Having gone to the conference finals in the second round, like in the playoffs, things don't always go your way. There's so many good teams that you're not going to just sweep. You're going to go through some adversity, and in each game, even games you win, you're going to go through times where it's not going well, and the other team has momentum, or the other team's got a hold of the game, and you need to find a way to elevate your game and to kind of bring it back, and you can't just can't, it doesn't just happen. It takes a year to figure out, you know, how to do that, how to elevate your game, how to grab a hold of a game when things are going well, how to simplify a game. And I think we have a lot of guys in this locker room who have a lot of experience, and who can speak to it, and you know, to, you know, wake the group up, and that, you know, we had that today.
So how close do you guys think you are to your ideal game as a team?
I mean, I think obviously we had a 16 game winning streak, so you know, there was a stretch there where we couldn't lose, right? Or it felt like that at least. And I think that, you know, when the trade deadline goes, you get your team. Like, you have your team, you make additions. We've made some great additions. And I think, you know, everybody's starting to get comfortable. And I think, you know, a couple, 2 weeks to a month after the deadline, you're really trying to figure out what's your ideal lineup. Like, what makes the most sense for your team? Who should go where? What should happen? So I think, you know, I think that, you know, there's a sorting out process after the deadline. And I think, these last, what do we have, 15 games left? I think that's where you really ramp up your game and you figure out, you know, how you're going to win. And I think we have a really good sense of what our identity is and how we're going to win. And obviously that's speed and you know, taking care of our own end. So I think we're in a good spot.
Does Echo have more offense than people give him credit for when they play with Bouchard against the
Well, I hope it's not overlooked. He's got an unbelievable shot, first and foremost. Like, he's got one of the heavier shots, one of the heavier slap shots, you know, I think you'll see. And I think you're right, like, he's underrated in the regards to the way he moves on the blue line and creates space in the O-zone. Him and Bouch have such great chemistry, and reading off each other and making plays, and it really feels like, you know, it's like a five-man unit out there, you know, with those two especially. They're just so dynamic, and obviously, you know, Bouch runs the power play as well, so Bouchy's, you know, he should be at least well regarded as one of the best two-way defenders in the league. I think he's taken that step to kind of put himself in that category, and I think Ecky is, you know, one of the, likewise, like, when I played against him, he's one of the hardest players to play against, just with regards to his ability to shut down the other team's opponent, but then, like you said, has the ability to break the puck out, get in the rush, shoot the puck, make plays. I mean, with a lot of the game before, he set up Rico, you know, backside. He's done that a bunch, jumping in. So the two of them together, obviously, they're an elite pair.
I might be reading it a little bit wrong, but it feels like a few of the goals you've scored lately, you've almost shaken your head afterwards, like you're just, whether it was the play that was made to you or keep going in, but it almost like this look of kind of like, I don't know if disbelief is the word, but are you feeling some of that out there?
I think like, goal scoring has been pretty consistent this year, which, in general, I think goal scoring can be inconsistent. Like, you can go through stretches of games, but even the best goal scorers can go through stretches where you're just, you know, for whatever reason, it's not going in. You know, you're hitting posts or whatever the case may be. I've been fortunate, you know, this year I've obviously been going to those areas and been playing with, you know, pretty special players. So when they make one of those plays, maybe that's kind of where you're seeing me go.
That is Zach Hyman, two goals tonight. McDavid, four assists. Oilers throttle the Sabres 8-3. Five goals in the third for the Oilers.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.